Hi, welcome to Civic's Change Agent Chat, episode 19. During these chats, we speak with change agents who are working to create a better healthcare system for us all. I'm Stephanie Spriggs with the Center for Improving Value in Healthcare, or as we like to call it, Civic. In this chat, Taman Osborne Roberts, Civic's former CMO, is speaking with Sharon O'Hara, former director of the Chronic Care Collaborative Colorado. The Chronic Care Collaborative Colorado is a coalition made up of 34 advocacy organizations representing Coloradans with a range of chronic conditions. Members received customized drug dashboards populated with co-ABCD data specific to the drugs that their patient population most utilizes. During this chat, we learn how they used the dashboards to discover how much Coloradans are spending for certain prescription drugs, whether prices are going up or down for health plans and patients, and how geography impacts those trends. We recorded this chat in December 2017. Thanks for listening and enjoy the chat.
All seriousness, welcome to the Civic Change Agent Chat. I'm your host, Taman Osborne Roberts, Chief Medical Officer here at Civic, and I'm happy that you're all here with us and able to join us this afternoon. It's often been said, and I do say this at the beginning of each of these, but I think it bears repeating, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting something different. We've done that far too often in American healthcare. And here at Civic, we're happy to partner with various stakeholders in the community in an effort to bring data to the equation to help people do things that are truly different and to really move the goalposts forward on quality, on cost, and on satisfaction of all of the patients who depend on the system for care. I'm lucky enough to be here today with Sharon O'Hara. And Sharon, would you like to introduce yourself and your organization?
Sure. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm Sharon O'Hara, and I am the director of the Chronic Care Collaborative. It is an organization of 34 voluntary health organizations, not-for-profit health organizations, who have a Colorado base and serve mostly the state of Colorado. And we cover a variety of chronic diseases. And we're dedicated to improving access and quality of care to people with a chronic disease. We have worked with Civic for the last half dozen years on a couple of projects, and the one we're going to talk about today is one that was generated as a result of the Affordable Care Act. And so I'm happy to be here.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us today. If you could go ahead really just begin to describe what your organization is doing, how you've used data from the Colorado ABCD, and a little bit more.
Okay. We try to impact state policy. We don't do very much on the federal policy. Many of our organizations have national organizations. So this was really our focus was the state policy. And when the state of Colorado decided to adopt a marketplace-based exchange, state-based exchange, we determined that a number of things began to change in the marketplace with the carriers. They added concepts like co-insurance, co-pays. They added tiers to different kinds of pricing. And people with chronic disease are on a number of medications, generally speaking about five, and many of them are specialty drugs. And those drugs are fairly costly. And we wanted to start tracking what these new concepts like co-insurance and co-pays and tiered pricing were meaning to a person who had a chronic disease. And I think today we're going to kind of focus in on diabetes, but it could be any chronic disease. So about 11 of the major organizations participated in this project, and what we asked them to do to help get it off the ground was to identify some key drugs, the big drugs that their disease group is impacted by.
Okay, fantastic. So it sounds like you're looking past some of the traditional measures we look at when thinking about healthcare costs, really trying to bring it down to the patient level, to some of the things that impact patients directly in regards to their costs and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think we wanted to get out of the anecdotal stuff. We hear a lot of comments, oh my goodness, my drug went up by 20%, or this happened, or that happened. And we wanted to be able to give our members some concrete data by which they could use with state legislators, with their own constituent groups, and we used it with the Department of Insurance to begin to impact what was really happening.
That's fantastic. I did mean to ask, is there a reason that you really started getting involved in this area? Was there, a person you knew or somebody in your life who kind of spurred you to take a closer look at this?
Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
Oh. No, not particularly. I just guess maybe I'm an inquisitive person. I came to the voluntary health world as a pretty healthy person. I have pretty healthy family members, so we don't have much of that. So it's not that I've got a personal story, so to speak, but I do have a strong interest in advocacy and in trying to inform policymakers about the impact their decisions have on people.
And it sounds like particularly using, real data and, an understanding of not just anecdotal, but real numbers.
Oh, real numbers. And real numbers were really significant in this discussion. One, because there was the tipping point of the Affordable Care Act that brought in a whole new dimension of how drugs were priced to the consumer. And also because our assumption was going to be that we were going to be able to get people with pre-existing conditions coverage, which we've been able to do. But I don't think we've addressed the issue of affordability, and some of this data points that out. The other thing that we use this data for is that the Connect staff, Connect is the marketplace here in Colorado, what it's called, started to develop a kind of rudimentary way in which people could go in and select the plan and also find out about their drugs. But this data, along with the work you've done subsequently, has brought Colorado to the forefront in the marketplace exchange, because we can now do a cost analyzer. And that is really a significant game changer for people trying to buy on the individual market. They can actually go in and see the actual cost of their drug and also find their doctor and find a plan that will match up with those things and the plan that they can afford.
Okay.
Or better afford.
So it sounds like you're really handling a large piece of the consumer education piece of creating a more of a free market in Colorado, which is how our exchange and our insurance system was set up after the ACA.
Yeah, I think I hope so. I mean, it's the only the individual market. We have not used this data with the Medicaid agency or anything of that sort, but it is extremely helpful to help move a couple of policy issues.
That's incredible. Well, my understanding is that you wanted to lead us through some examples and whatnot, please.
Okay, thank you. I think Carrie's going to help us out here, aren't you? Thank you, Carrie. I want to give her credit, because believe me, if I had to do both of these types of things. We decided to select diabetes because that's a fairly major disease, although I think what you're going to be looking at is going to be comparable regardless. There's going to be a couple of exceptions. I think Hep C was an exception in this conversation, if you saw their data. So we're trying to use a fairly generic platform here with diabetes. And the one thing that I'd like to point out is if you look at the far left-hand column, you can put in the year that you want it for. We're hoping to get 2016 data soon, because that gives us some trend information by which we can argue with the Department of Insurance or inform the Department of Insurance of the impact things are having when they make their decisions. And that is particularly helpful. You can also have a drop-down menu that allows you to look at all plans, commercial plans, Medicaid, and Medicare Advantage. For today's conversation, we're going to look at all, but I was really impressed with the ability of this tool to be able to let us drill down on those kinds of areas that were very important to us. So you could have a Medicaid conversation with the Medicaid agency if you wanted to on this kind of stuff. Then we also have a box that shows you the total spend rate, and that includes the average paid per day, the percentage, the member liability, how much the plan is paid, and various other components, which is really a cool feature of this. And then if we could just do a quick overview, Carrie, and go down, you can select that metric, but further down, you can also break out by issues right there. You can break out by percentage of allowed per day in the way of the cost and what the trend is that's happening. So we picked a drug that Lantus, which is a diabetic drug. It's pretty popular and oftentimes prescribed. And we can find out by looking across all payers how much money is totally spent in the state of Colorado. We did the whole state for the purpose of this demonstration. You could drill down to a county. And that information is overlaid on this really cool map, the county map. And that tells you, when you hover over it, where this drug is more expensive or less expensive. And if you're looking for information to help a consumer buy, one of the things we can tell them is you might want to take the opportunity to drive 45 minutes or an hour, and you might be able to pick that drug up for a lot less money. And there is a significant difference in this particular drug. When you look at this particular map, you can see that that's pretty obvious. So the other thing that we've used this for is the total spend rate. And in the far left-hand column of what you're looking at right now, you can see that this drug averaged $4.75 in 2012, but it's $12.38 in 2015. That's an incredible jump in a price of a drug that has not changed pharmaceutically. I mean, it's the same drug that it's always been, and just with the change, and like I said, we were looking at this data to see what the impact of coinsurance and co-pays would do. And so when you go over to the far right-hand column, if you're looking at the screen, you can see how much the member liability is to pay for that drug. So that's gone up also over time. And it may sound like it's not a whole lot of money if the drug goes up a dollar or $2, but when it's your life, and it's a drug you have to use every day, and it's a drug that being compliant on is important to your care management, then this is a significant issue for a lot of people. And again, we're talking about a drug that did not substantially change in any way, shape, or form, and serves a fairly large population. Now, I can't say across the board that we found this in all cases. We didn't. We found a few cases where some drugs went down with some of the different payers, so I don't want to make a general statement. But the nice thing about this particular document is that this is a interactive effort, too. You can go in, you can play around, you can pull down data from a specific county, and you can compare drugs. I think that's what we want to do next, right? Try to do a comparison. Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if we took that drug and compared it, first of all, we can clearly see, without looking too hard, that it is a less total in the way of spend. But the data also shows that that drug went up in 2014 to 2015 considerably. $2.16 is up for per day is a pretty significant increase for people. And again, when you look at the right-hand side, you can certainly see what's happening with this drug. And how we use this data, interestingly enough, if you go back up to the county map and look quickly at that, you can see that there isn't a lot of variation in counties. So you're going to be paying about the same amount of money no matter where you end up going to acquire the drug. Now, the ways in which we can do this is we can certainly inform consumers about variations in prices in their counties, but we can also use this information to talk with the Department of Insurance when they go to regulate or approve a plan to say, listen, we're not really sure why this is occurring. So that if XYZ carrier wants to get additional money from a consumer for this, why does this need to happen? So we can do some individual advocacy with the Department of Insurance at the time they're reviewing plans and approving them to go on the individual market.
That is really, really powerful data. I'm actually running a couple of numbers here on some of the things that we've been looking at. So a couple of points for those who may be on the line who are not clinicians. One thing to know about Lantus versus Levemir is they're both insulins. They're both used in the same context as long-acting insulins. The primary difference clinically between the two of them is how often they're dosed, with Levemir typically being twice per day and Lantus being once per day. Aside from that, they tend to have fairly equivalent uses. There are some differences between the two. The other thing is that I went ahead and did a quick, postage stamp or back of the envelope calculation on the difference per day over the course of a year for each of those two agents in terms of the patient responsibility portion, rightmost graph that we were looking at for each of them. And if you look at over time, the difference in price increase from one time period to another over the time period that we happen to have for the Lantus, it was $292 a year, which if you think about it is actually, the cost of a tax increase for a lot of people is a good way to put it. A lot of people, if they were to have a change in their taxation over the course of the year, would be, that or less. Whereas it'd be a...
Or a week's grocery.
Exactly.
It's significant. It's significant,
and,
yeah.
And for Levemir, it's a different time period as opposed to... because we have fewer data points, but it was $51.10 overall in terms of the increase. And the absolute patient responsibility difference was also substantial between the two, in the around the order of, about $180 per year.
Yeah.
So it's real money that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that these are not insignificant events to people with chronic disease. I mean, this is going to be a lifelong, it's a drug you're going to be on for the rest of your life. And those kind of increases really do impact your bottom line.
This is just one drug of the multiple that many people with diabetes, it's just one condition to take.
Yes, yes. And like I mentioned earlier, people within the chronic disease world normally have about 5 medications. So if you multiply this, although they're not all specialty drugs, they could be for other things. But when you multiply this out, it is real money to people. But even the dollar amounts you did in the back of the envelope, I think, are important for us to realize. And it also helps us educate the consumer. I mean, they know now. I mean, it when the Affordable Care Act came out and new words like, well, now we have 4 tiers of drug pricing and we have co-insurance, it's really tough for people to figure out what that means to their bottom line. It's not that easy to realize how that's going to impact your budget. And what it does is force people at some point in time just not to be compliant with their regimen, which causes other problems, which exacerbates other issues, both in the healthcare world and in their personal family life.
That's fascinating. This is really powerful at the individual level.
Yeah.
It's not just a systems issue. This is information patients can use.
And I want to give a shout out to Civic, because we could not have pulled this together without them. And they worked with us hand in glove for months to come up with a system by which we could do it. When we first got this information, it was just this massive Excel spreadsheet, and no voluntary health organization had the right level of nerds and geeks in it to pull together that information in this kind of comprehensive fashion. So what they've really developed has been a total game changer for many of us in the voluntary health world. Not only have they brought their expertise, which was the massive Excel spreadsheet, they worked with us to put it in a form that can help us tell the story.
We've been very happy to partner with you, and as a proud geek, I'm just saying we're all very, very proud that you determined where that'll be.
Everybody has their expertise, and I lean on you guys for the nerdy geek stuff, and I think it's great. And I'm not saying that in any derogatory fashion. I'm very proud, because I tell you, I was a little overwhelmed when I first saw the data.
Well, I think we'll move to questions in a moment. I just wanted to see if there was anything else that you had to add.
I think that I've covered my big points. I'm more than happy to take questions. Like I said, out of the 30 some odd organizations that belong to the Chronic Care Collaborative, 11 of them have used the data. I can say that it's been most helpful to the voluntary health organizations that had more than one drug that relates to their disease level. In the case of hepatitis C, we just had the one drug, plus we had that intervening event where there was a drug that could cure the problem. And none of the drugs that we did before were cures. They were all symptom management and or treatment drugs. And then I think, in summary, that you can use it with your Department of Insurance to argue about what increases are costing families. Medicaid is a little bit different to argue with, but at least you can let Medicaid know how many people are impacted if they make a decision to take something off the preferred drug list or put it on the preferred drug list. This is good data for that. And lastly, it's been extremely helpful to help build our case with our individual markets, so that we now have the cost analyzer tool, which you guys help geek and nerd into reality for us too.
Fantastic. So taking a look, questions. Looks like actually we don't have any questions currently. Feel free to go ahead and put a few in if anybody happens to have any. I'm trying to think if I have any further questions myself.
Let me kind of go over, maybe some questions will generate if we go back. I did the thing pretty quickly, so maybe if we did a little bit more in depth, that might do it. So I think if you looked at the drug portion, you will note what the member what the consumer liability is for any particular drug. Let's see, I think it's a little further. Yeah, right there. And that bar is very interesting because you can, again, over time, measure what the liability is for any particular member. And I think that's an important thing to note. And you can start trending this stuff, which is extremely helpful. You can see counties have the amazing thing to me when I first saw this was the counties are different. I mean, it's the same drug, and you can buy the same drug for a very different price in County A versus County B. You can also segregate it by payers, but I think you have to go out and make another change in order to make that happen. And so this gives us all payers, but then you can begin to sort it out by different payers, and that's extremely helpful when you're trying to get consumers to buy the best product for their particular situation. And this is very obvious that plan benefits really are very diverse, that you get very different plan benefits. As Carrie's scrolling through, you can see the payer name being CVS, being Denver Health, and the far right part gives you how much is the member responsibility versus how much is the payer responsibility. So that begins to give you a picture of where payers are more, are putting some of their emphasis on their drugs and making a big difference in what people end up having to pay. I thought that was pretty cool. That was one of my, that and the counties are my two favorite parts of this. I love the payer part and the county portion.
Oh, there's some pretty wide variance, you know, that split, you know,
yeah,
between blue and orange, if you will.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, which particular, not even simply the carrier, but, you know, which product within the carrier in some cases.
Right. And that makes a difference. I mean, again, we're talking $50 or $200 to a family. That's a significant amount of money. Because multiply that over five drugs or something else, you want people to keep their cost of their health care below a certain amount of money. If you can't, below 9% is our hope. And it can get pretty pricey. I think that you can also see, as you pointed out, the trend from drug to drug is good to see the increases on. And plan reimbursements vary widely. How much a plan will reimburse or how much is the payer thing, it varies widely. And that is pretty significant. Let's see if there's anything else I was thinking. No. I think transparency is what this does. And transparency doesn't necessarily impact costs, but it highlights issues with real data, and that's important. And I also think that as this pointed out to me that a lot more of healthcare is local than I had realized. You know, that there's a very local component to what happens with your healthcare.
I suppose that could be a new slogan, all healthcare is local.
All healthcare is local. I think somebody did it on another issue, but I think that I would go with that. But I think a lot of healthcare is very local when you look at it from this kind of perspective.
Yeah, very much so, and this is an incredible illustration. The work you're doing is quite amazing.
Yeah.
So it looks like we are coming up on the end of our time, and I'd like to thank you so much for joining us here today to talk about the incredible work that the Chronic Care Collaborative is doing, and how it's working to really educate both systems agents and consumers about, you know, what is going on with both systems and individual pricing in the market. It's really quite incredible work.
Yeah. We couldn't have done it without you guys. So thank you.
Thank you for that.
They didn't pay me anything to say that.
And there was no trend line on that.
No. Listen, I'm very grateful.
And I'd like to say thank you to everyone who has joined us here today. As always, it's wonderful to have you with us, and I hope this has been enlightening and shows some of the incredible work that our stakeholders in the community are doing with the data provided by the Colorado APCD in the Pacific. I'd like to encourage everyone to join us for, when is it? In January. don't worry, you'll be receiving communications from us when we will be coming forward with another wonderful meeting with another stakeholder. And until then, take care, go and do good work, and we'll see you on the